If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello.
Pig.
Pig. And won't you smile for the camera?
For the camera.
I know you're gonna love it. Pig. I love that song.
Pig. Oh, it's so good. It's just like a happy,
I know,
lovely, beautiful song. Existing in just like a world where there are no problems. Steely Dan is a really good band.
Feel good band.
Just feel good music through and through.
Steel good with Steely Dan. Did he die recently? Like a few years ago?
He might have, yeah. There's a Steely Dan Grateful Dead cover band that plays sometimes, like in the Bay Area, that's supposedly really fucking good.
Wow.
And I love that.
My swim coach in college was a...
Maybe we'll get to see them sometime.
Yeah. My swim coach in college was a hardcore Deadhead.
Love.
He was like really great guy, like super like disciplined, like would run like 10 miles at 4 a.m. every morning. Like was just like this tall, like just always on the go, like super... But he was like obsessed with the Grateful Dead. And like you would not think when you saw him, but he was like total Deadhead and like Fish.
Oh, that's edging into territory that's tough for me.
Boop boop boo.
Do, do, do.
I'm Carrie.
And my name is Lara.
Do, 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 do. And you're listening to Salty Utah.
The Salty Utah Queens.
Yeah. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another week of Salty Utah Queens for Sexy Unique Podcast.
Another week of the queens being salty in the one and only state of Utah.
Another week of windburn, cold temps, and even colder shade. Mm-hmm.
The temps are cold, and so are the shoulders. Oof. In Salt Lake City.
At Valter.
Which is close to Park City.
Valter.
At Valter's Den of Sin.
Really fast, we need to let's just go into it for like a few minutes because I don't have the bandwidth to go through it anymore. But Jax and Brittany are gone.
Bye.
The news came in on a Friday.
It's unclear why they were fired. Like, it's either... Okay, so my thoughts are either they're trying to make deals for the next season of Vanderpump Rules, and they offered Jax and Brittany, like, a friend of, or, like, tried to demote them, and then they said no. That's, like, one theory that I have going. Another theory is, like, Vanderpump Rules just is over in general. And everyone's kind of fired because the show will not come back. Another is that Jax and Brittany were just fired or their contracts weren't renewed. But the future of Vanderpump Rules is still really uncertain. But what was certain was that they didn't want anything to do with Jax and Brittany anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like the restaurant industry doesn't exist basically anymore, so it's like the show.
But also, you can have Vanderpump Rules without
it's true. Mean,
the restaurant element I think was the least interesting thing
of course
about Vanderpump Rules,
but it is, but, like, the
it's Lisa's show.
It's like, and the sun that everyone's sort of orbiting.
You know that bitch won't let a show film if her restaurants are closed.
I told you I loved driving by Pump back in October, and it was like, Pump is back. And it was like right when like cases were starting to skyrocket. I was like, of course.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a direct correlation between the rise of COVID and Pump reopening.
But yeah, I mean, it is like, oof, baby on the way. It's a, you know, you reap what you sow. And Jax sowed a lot of shit.
Chaos. Yeah.
And
Brittany also, it's just like, God, you really like,
yeah, you saddled
hitched
up.
Hitched your trailer to a fucking sinking ship. I'm psychically, I feel the like waves of stress. Like the, I mean, all these people, my biggest question is, how are you supporting yourself right now? Like, how are you paying a mortgage?
I guess SponCon and, does Stassi still have her?
A lot of SponCon.
Does she still have her podcast? No. No,
that's been off. Like, they didn't. I mean, they just took that shit off completely from like the podcast universe. So she couldn't even like retroactively get like ad dollars from that.
But she was making bank from that, right?
Yeah. Like minimum. I mean, she had so many listeners, and she must have been making like insane ad revenue. And she had that crazy tour plan, but that, I mean, that got canceled, obviously. But like, if she hadn't been canceled when she was, she would have still been able to like pod through the pandemic. But I think that she's also just from a wealthy family or has some sort of trust fund or inheritance of some sort. So
I agree with you.
I don't really worry about her. I'm also just like, now more than ever, she's got to be like, wondering what the fuck Bo is bringing to the table financially, because that bitch, like, he has no income.
Yeah, he's probably freaking out too, because he's like, oh shit, now I actually have to like possibly help out.
I know, but he locked it down, impregnated her, and they got married over Quar, so like now he's like in for life.
What was his job? What was his pretend job? Like, he worked at an agency.
He was like a casting agent or casting director of some sort.
Okay.
But I'm also like, you're not making bank doing that, are you? I don't think you are.
I think people...
You're not making it like you're not in competition with Stassi for who like is the primary breadwinner.
No, and like, obviously, I think there are like some casting people that make a ton of money, like what's her name?
Yeah, but that one that's
Jenkins,
you always see.
Something?
Yeah. Sue Jenkins. Yeah. She's like the one casting director that's like bringing home the bacon. Mm-hmm. It's like five people. And then the rest, I'm sure that you tap out at maybe like 75 to 80K a year, which isn't bad, but you're not making $1 million.
Yeah. Jane Jenkins. She's in every, like, I always see her name.
Who's Sue Jenkins?
Sue?
That I was thinking of.
It's her sister. I don't know. But yeah, I'm like.
I just went on a whole
Sue? Sue?
Sue?
Who? Yeah, I'm... But yeah, Brittany... I was seeing people saying that they think that Brittany and Jax are going to, like, have their own show in Kentucky or, like, move to, like, a red state. I said to you, like, I feel like E will do something. But then you said, but E and Bravo are from the same parent company.
Yeah, I don't think that they could get another job under, like, the NBC Universal umbrella. But I don't know. I mean,
TLC.
I have a feeling, I have another theory that all the pregnant women are going to try and sell a show. I mean, without Sheena, but I feel like Stassi, Brittany, and Lala would try and, like, position themselves with, like, a life after baby kind of show.
Well, they're lost because Sheena would make their show better.
Yeah. But, like, also, what network is going to, like, Jax and Brittany have already had a chance to prove that they could carry a show on their own. And I'm pretty sure their show was a total flop. So, like, that's not a good track record if you're trying to position yourself to get another show.
No one wants to watch Brittany's judgmental family.
I mean, I kind of do. Mm. Want to watch, like, her mom get, like, multiple facelifts and, like, mama be like, don't drink, y'all.
Yeah, okay.
And then, like, but also their show was not entertaining. It was just like, wow, this man is, like, abusive to his partner and her family condones it. And no one confronts anyone about it. And it's just, like, kind of dark and depressing. Not even in a fun, entertaining way.
Yeah. He's a horrible person.
Yeah. He's a full-blown, like, sociopath. Yeah.
So I don't really... I mean, I feel... Honestly, I have...
And she's living in a lie. She's just living, like, a false...
Yeah. I have empathy for her because she's about to give birth. And, you know, it's probably hard being married to him.
I think every day would be a challenge. And
but she knew what she was getting into.
Yeah. For their baby's sake, I, like, don't want them to be on TV anymore. But also for their baby's sake, I'm like, what are you going to do with your life? Like, what is Brittany going to do? She has no career, no nothing.
Yeah, I guess I think they're just going to be, like, influencers. Like, I can see Brittany becoming, like, a mommy blogger. I can also see them, I mean, this is, I saw a few people post about this too, but, like, that they would become, or I said I think people will be, I think Jax and Brittany will be, like, Christian people. Like, they'll get into, like...
They'll be, like, the new Carl Lentz.
Yeah, or, like, get into, like, and then maybe I could see Brittany, can't you see Brittany being, like, a Tammy Faye, like, budget Tammy Faye?
Yeah. I could see them both trying to just be religion influencers.
Yeah. Like, I can see that.
Who though, is, like, influenced by...
People!
Who is watching Jax and Brittany? I know, but I'm also just, like, saying a prayer for you if you watch Brittany and Jax and you think goals to yourself. Like, you need to go check yourself in.
People are influenced by them. People were defending them on Twitter and being like... When were they ever raised? Like, people are into these people unironically.
Yeah, that's just always, like, such a shock.
Well,
I love Jax's smile in certain photos where it looks like his head is going to explode. Mm-hmm. When he's just trying to be, like, good Jax.
Yeah.
And it looks like his veins are going to explode out of his forehead. Like some sort of, like, David Cronenberg
movie. Scanners. I'm influenced by Sandoval and Ariana, and that's about it.
Mm-hmm. I'm obsessed, though, with Jax. Like, I'm obsessed with his ever-changing brands that he tries to get off the ground.
Yeah.
Like, I would watch a show about them trying to go into business together.
Yeah, I'd watch a show about them, like, getting into, like, a pyramid scheme or, like, an MLM.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Oh my God, he has on his Instagram, Jax Entrepreneur, Jax Taylor Incorporated, Investor, with, like, a bunch of emojis, then at Beatbox Beverages.
Oh my God, he's going to be...
I'm sorry, but when you are truly at the end of your rope and have nothing to offer creatively, those are the exact people that go into the beverage business. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Well, we saw that on Jersey Housewives.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, If you have to say you're an entrepreneur in your Instagram bio, there's a lot that needs to be reckoned with.
Yeah.
A real entrepreneur does not have to say that they're an entrepreneur.
Entrepreneurship whispers.
Yeah. Jax Taylor screams.
Doesn't use the word entrepreneur.
Or call their wife like a bitch.
Yeah. Bobby Axelrod of Billions would never call himself an entrepreneur.
Oh, really fast. Switching gears from...
Oh my God, yes.
I finished...
Finally.
I watched Industry and I finished the whole season. And it's my new favorite show. I'm obsessed with all of them. The music was incredible. I didn't want it to end. And they just renewed it today for season two.
Yes! This is the news we all needed. Me more than anyone.
Yeah.
And everyone needs to fucking watch Industry. I'm telling you, it's the best fucking show of 2020.
It's the horniest show I've ever seen. And there is so much sex and just like fluid sexuality going on that it's like actually revolutionary.
For my industry heads, we're going to now talk about it. And for the non-industry people that don't
want
any spoilers, just skip ahead. Turn it off for like a few minutes because I need to bring witness and I need to discuss this one moment that truly is the best moment of any TV show ever.
So are you talking about the moment?
Now, just keep skipping. I'm talking about
the Christmas party.
The moment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When... So there's
a hookup. Okay.
Well, okay. So there's... The heartthrob of the show is like the playboy, like hot British lad who's literally one of the hottest guys I've seen in so long. And you see his big uncut British cock, flaccid, and it's huge mm-hmm. and thick. And he's like, looks like he's like 6'4". Like he just is big. But he's like, but he has this like boyish twink face. It's so weird. But he'll fuck anyone. Man, woman, like he'll just go, he'll let you blow him.
He's down for whatever. He's a party boy. He loves doing drugs, staying up all night and like going into work. And he doesn't really have like a purpose at the job, which is like a high stress environment. And the whole point that they're at Industry, like called Pierpont Industry, the whole point that they're at Industry mm-hmm. is to get hired full time for this job. And they're interns.
But he kind of does has a purpose because he's there
just
is
like a whiner and diner.
Yeah, he's like, there is a big part. That is, I think, a big part of finance is like the entertainment. And he's basically like the Fredo of Pierpont.
Yeah.
And he's...
I would really love a job at Pierpont if I didn't have to look at the computer screens and I could just take people out to dinner and go to like yummy dinners and laugh.
And then do ketamine?
And then turn them over and do ketamine and then turn them over to someone else and then they make the deal or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to be like a live, laugh, eat, drink, and be merry.
But there's this amazing moment at the Christmas party, at the office Christmas party, where there's this like high powered businessman who like basically comes into town just to party with Robert because he's like, oh, he'll like go down the rabbit hole with him. And this guy loves, he pretends that he doesn't drink, but he's a fucking hardcore drug addict. And he, they all do, what do they do, Molly?
I think they did like Molly or they did some sort of like hallucinogen. I feel like it was like they do.
I think
like,
they did Molly that? And then they did a bunch of blow. And then at one point they're all like rolling together in the cube. Like the party's happening in one room and they're all in like the main office space. And the guy who's like married to a woman just says, I really want to blow coke up someone's asshole right now. And then you cut to Robert on all fours, getting mm-hmm. this man who's straight blowing cocaine into his asshole. And then, like, goes... He says, like, you have to go deeper, right? Is that one point?
Yeah, he's like, you gotta spread, because I think they put it in a straw and then blew it in, which I was like, ugh, I want to try that.
A booty bump?
I've done booty bumps, but I've never had, like, someone down there blow it in.
It was kind of an unbelievable moment. And Robert just was, is on he's on a conference table like in his suit just and you just hear him go like he's like ugh, like he like winces. It's like I was just like, "Oh my God." Like it's crazy.
That wasn't even the moment I was thinking of.
Oh, what were you thinking of?
I was thinking of Robert and Yasmin's moment in the bathroom.
Oh.
Where, okay, so he has, Robert and this other girl, Yasmin, have this, like, long flirtation going, and she knows that he, like, fucks anyone, but she won't fuck him and just kind of, like, toys with him, and it's incredible. Everyone should watch it. It's just, like, a way for, like, a means, a lesson in seduction. Mm-hmm. So they go into the bathroom during this party, and she's, like, kisses him, and then she's like, I want you to jerk off. And then he, like, jerks off, and they're standing in front of a mirror. So she, like, watches him jerk off in front of the mirror, and then she tells him to come on the mirror. And so he comes on this mirror, and then she goes, I want you to lick it off. And he does it.
It's like, I want you to eat it.
I was like, oh, I want you to eat it. And he takes some of it on his finger and eats it. And I was like, that is actually powerful, and I'm definitely going to be doing that to someone.
It was like, And there's, like, actually, like, drama and, like, great acting, and, like, there's, like, high stakes, but, like, the sex stuff is so, like, it's not even gratuitous. It feels so, like, necessary, and it's really major and, like, cool, and the writers were just, I think they were former bankers, so they, like, just have all this insight, and, like, it's just cool to see these, like, it's cool to see a show where they're, like, not confined by, like, traditional, like, bro, like, the men are, like, wild and, like, willing to do things.
Mm-hmm.
And Harper's amazing.
I feel like that Harper's amazing. By the end, I was, like, fully hating her. I was just like, oh my god, like, you've gone too far.
What she did to Daria,
I liked. That made me like her again, actually. Because I was worried at the end. I was like, oh my god, this show is going to take, like, a feminist, like, women in power, like, lean in turn. And I was just like, I don't want that in my industry. Like, I want my industry to be fucked up forever. And then thank god Harper just, like, threw Daria to the wolves. And I was like, hell
that
yeah.
When Daria glares at her, I was like, she's, mm-hmm. They're going to be enemies now.
Yeah, and that made me like Harper, but before I was just like, Harper, you're spiraling, like, you're kind of she's a bit of a scammer.
Oh yeah, from the start.
Like, has worked her way up, but then it just made me mad when she was coming for Robert, knowing that that Yasmin had a thing with him, because I just, like, wanted Yasmin and Robert, even though it's, like, Robert's fault or whatever. I was just, like, getting a little pissed, but I thought Yasmin's power move of when she saw them hooking up, and then she just tried to, like, insert herself into the hookup.
I did like Harper going, no, I'm not doing this. That was, like, I liked how she,
yeah, that was,
that
cool.
Was power too. Like, she took the power back.
She realized that she was being, like, third wheeled into the threesome and then just, like, used in the threesome in a way that she, like, wasn't comfortable.
No.
So I was like, hell yeah. But pro tip, if someone ever is hooking up, or if your paramour is hooking up with another person,
have a threesome,
and you don't want them to hook up with them, and you want them to hook up with you, insert yourself into the mix, have a threesome with them, and then make the other person in the threesome uncomfortable and tap out of the threesome, and then you'll just diffuse their sex energy all together.
Oh my god. And then the Gus,
when he ran into the fucking wall.
Oh my god, yeah. That was horrifying.
I knew. I was like, that's one of the darkest things I've ever seen on TV. But I was also like, that's so fucking real. Like,
I know.
Drug psychosis.
Yeah.
Like,
but also when Gus and the closeted guy fuck while his girlfriend's up, I was.
Oh, Gus wasn't the one that.
No, Gus was the gay guy. But I was so stressed out while they were fucking. Because I was like, oh my god, the girlfriend's going to fucking come in. Like, that was so stressful to me. And then when I actually thought she was going to be cool with it for some reason when she saw them together. And then her horror at it, I was like, oh wait, no, she's not going to be cool with it. Like, I was like, fuck, they got caught. Like, it was just, oh my god, it was such a good show. And the music is incredible.
Yeah. The music's incredible. It has a short title sequence.
Oh, the title.
The titles are so good.
Stranger Things Who is all I have to say.
I know. Every actor did an incredible job. Like, that show is just it for me.
You can see Lena Dunham's influence in it.
I don't think she actually produced it.
She directed the first episode.
Yeah, the pilot. Yeah.
The writers are amazing. These two guys, I think the head writers are these two. One of them, we follow each other on Twitter now. And I messaged him and told him how great the show was.
Hey, it is. You got to give it up. Industry is where it's at. Industry Hive. Tonight we ride.
It made me want to be in finance.
Yeah, so same. I signed up for an online course through this like free thing called Coursera in finance.
Good for you.
And then I did it for like a week, and then it came time to take the first test, like, or the first quiz in the course, and I was like, I think I get what they're talking about. Like, I'm pretty sure like I got this. And then I took the quiz and they graded it and I got a 25%.
Back to.
And I was like, damn, once again, the fooled math again. Numbers. Like, I think I know. Fool thwarted yet again.
Fool me once. Fool me eight times.
Math me once. Shame on me. Math me twice. Shame on us.
Yeah. Well.
But yeah, I was like, well, I'm not going to be an analyst Pierre Paul anytime soon. No, I'm not going to be at Pay a Point. Thank you very much.
It also made me miss London.
I've never been. It made me really want to go to London.
So good. That last, at the end when the Brian Ferry song is playing and she's looking out over London.
I feel like I would vibe with London.
You would. It's great. I was only there for 4 months, so like I didn't actually like live there, but I lived there for a full semester when I went abroad. It was actually a significant amount of time.
Yeah, that's not nothing. You, like, get it.
I loved it.
I want to go.
There's a feel when it's first dusk and all the lights of the city are twinkling. And you're just like, oof. And it's, like, 4 p.m. and it's dark. You're just like, I'm in London, you know?
Yeah.
And the guys are really hot.
London, I think of, like, ugh. Yeah. It might be time to go to London.
Yeah. It's...
next year.
Get that... Get that nice, you know.
It's like jacket weather all the time.
Yeah, everyone is also just really thin and like looks just like very, or at least where I was in the, everyone was like hip and like, I was like, everyone smoked cigs. They rolled their own cigs and they all just like.
Did they say, can I have a fag?
Maybe. I was just like. Me and we were all just like, like the Americans that were there. We were like, yeah. And they were all like these like 18-year-olds who were seemed like they were 40.
Yeah, everyone's like permanently 40. Yeah. You're born 40 in the UK.
And meanwhile, we're all like, my friend and I were like knocking fire extinguishers over and like being fucking messes. But it was great, and they're all really nice.
I love.
And the British,
yeah, I want
British boys are so cute. They really are.
It might be time, London Hive,
London Coles. London, what if you live there? Ride.
Hey, that'd be chill.
We can pod.
We're the London listeners. Let me know what. Let me know
when I lived.
What you think of me and London together at some point in the near future?
I think you'd vibe. It's really expensive. It's like
that's the thing is I don't love the pound. I don't love the exchange rate.
It's like more expensive than New York.
It's more expensive than just the European.
Yeah,
Union.
It's crazy. I mean. It's a sacrifice to live there, like every big city, but it's exceptionally hard, I think, because it's so expensive, but it's so amazing, and I loved where I lived. I lived in the East End. I lived on Mile End, in, like, Cockney area. It's great. Jack the Ripper killed people there.
So
such
cool.
A history.
What a history.
But truly.
I'm checking this
I'm
out.
I'm checking this out.
That's what I'm saying. That's what me watching Industry, I was like,
And everyone is like kind of gay. Like all I was in a class really fast. I was in this class when I was there and there was this like really cute guy who like was nice to me because he knew I was from America and like we talked and we liked all the same music and we like friended each other on Facebook and I was totally sure that he was gay and like into me. And I was like telling my friends about it and then he was like, do you want to go see the new Sofia Coppola movie with me? It's like playing in some square. And I was like, yeah.
And then you're like, this is my moment.
Yeah, my friends were like, like, you guys, you're going on a date. Like, that's great. And I was like, fuck yeah. And then we went and he's like, do you mind if my friend joins? And I was like, oh. And it was this girl. who was from the class, who was cool too, but I was like, okay. And then we were waiting in line and he was talked about his girlfriend and I was just like, oh, okay. And then I was like, he is straight and just a nice guy.
You're like,
and comfortable enough going to a movie with another man.
Another one bites the dust.
Another one bites. All right.
Well.
Let's
go to London. I want to do a tour in London.
Yeah, let's do a European tour.
UK listeners, start spreading the word.
Yeah.
I know you're out there. I know you listen to the pod.
I know you're out there, too.
So start
telling
all your friends. And hopefully by the time we can tour again in like 2022, yeah, we'll have a lot of London listeners.
Don't pretend. I know you listen to us.
I know you fucking listen. I'm going to make this
short. I'm going to make this short and sweet.
You better tell all your fucking friends that in London that we are the best podcast in the fucking world.
Tell your friends about Sexy New Podcast.
Tell your friends now.
Tell your friends now.
I'm
short and sweet. Okay.
Spread the word. You have 1 year.
Fuck. London's doing great now. UK.
I know. That's a thing.
I'm going to go like pretend to be British and get the vaccine. Harper and Robert and Yasmin are all getting the vaccine right now.
They're all getting the fucking vaccine.
Pierpoint got it. They like rolled it out.
Seb, Pierpoint gets it first for sure. They do
Seb.
A fast and furious vaccine rollout. Seb is not vaccinated.
Anyway,
so back in Salt Lake City,
we're an episode.
The Met Gala luncheon of the century
continues.
Jen and Mary are at each other's throats. Jen's trying to explain where she's coming from, why she's such a hothead. And Mary keeps doing her like wide Mary eyes at her. And then they just get into a fight. And Jen goes, it was pretty intense.
Jen was like,
they're kind of just like spatting at each other, like little threats. Mm-hmm. And Jen goes, don't open those eyeballs up at me.
She goes, open your eyes one more time at me like that. And Mary, because Mary just keeps going, like, giving the very, like, combative eye open thing.
Yeah, I hate the combative eye open.
I did know, Mary says. She says something, someone said, like, I was surprised by Jen, like, what you said to Mary. I didn't know that about you. Like, that's how you, and then Mary goes, I did know. Mary is just ready to go.
Yeah, Mary is like,
let's be real what this lunch was. This was Mary's, Mary assembled this. It's probably thousands and thousands of dollars luncheon at Voltaire. Sorry, there's like sirens en masse behind me.
It's okay.
And just had everyone come here, dress up, do a Christmas theme in January just to fuck Jen up, I think. Just to like rake Jen over
the coals. She wanted to win everyone over and then make Jen feel like an asshole.
Yeah.
But really, she just made herself look like a psycho.
Yeah. But also, Jen looked like a psycho, too.
Yeah, neither of them come away looking good. And then, like, they're basically, like, spitting threats at each other. And then Mary goes, don't get ghetto. And then I was like, you can't, like, go there. And then Jen's offended by that because it's, like, anti-black. And then Mary kicks Jen out and she says, you know where the door is. Leave.
She goes, I didn't want to invite you. And then Jen storms out. And then they keep cutting to Voltaire and the colt in the corner with his henchmen.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, goodbye, Jen.
Voltaire is like a vulture just hovering around. Mm-hmm. I think Walter/Voltaire loves the drama.
Oh, I do too.
I think he was born to have a restaurant so that there could be drama, because there's nothing but drama in the restaurant world anyway, so this is just like a regular old vault.
Whitney, or he might not like it because he's on the run and he wants to lay low. Whitney's like, everything was amazing up until this point. We had Louis Vuitton gift bags, ear pods, the pasta was
journal.
I had a journal.
With my name on it.
The pasta was amazing. I came for the pasta, and then they started fighting.
I am iffy on Whitney.
Me too.
I'm starting to get iffy with her.
I smell something.
Mm-hmm. It's mostly because
I smell bullshit.
She had her different looks. She's like a shapeshifter. Yeah. She served some interview looks that I just like couldn't. One did not even look like her. I was like, "Is this?"
Yeah, same I was like,
person?
"Is that Dorit?"
With like her ponytail, yeah,
and her like,
and then there was one that was like just Marilyn Monroe cosplay.
Yeah,
where I was like, "This also doesn't add up. Like, why are you shape shifting and ever? Like, where's the consistency?"
Also, I'm sorry, doing jujitsu with your brother is strange.
A little incesty.
Sorry, it's a little weird.
I'll say it.
I'll say it too.
It's weird.
So then Mary goes.
So Mary kicks Mary's kicked Jen out.
I wrote Mary is
and then
the one.
Lisa goes. Mary is God. Lisa goes. I don't like this feeling right now.
Yeah.
And then
grow up, Lisa.
Mary's like she called me. Mary keeps saying that Jen called her a grandfather MF-er, and that's not what she said.
No, she said she fucks her grandfather.
She said, you're going to go with Mary who fucked her grandfather? And I just wrote, how do they not all think that Mary's a grandpa fucker?
It's really strange. It just shows she you is. It's a different kind of culture there.
But like, and I have empathy for Mary, but only up to a certain point because I'm like, you did this. She did that.
Yeah,
like,
she did that.
She did that, queen. But like, you did, like, you married your
step-grandfather,
which is basically the same. It's, you might not be blood related, yeah, but it still is weird.
And they're all like, well, you weren't blood related. Not gonna be weird. You weren't blood. And like, so they're all like kind of defending Mary's decision to do that. And then Mary says about Jen, she brought that brain and that mouth of hers here.
Mary, Jen comes back because Heather like goes after her.
Of course.
And then tries to bring her back. And
their
like,
whole relationship is Heather running after them. Jen and comforting her.
Yeah, and like calming Jen down.
And like having to interrupt.
Like, catering to Jen.
Having to interrupt emotions. her nice moment with her food and her like wine and like her. She wants. Heather's like wants to have fun. And she keeps having to, like, run out and, like, wrangle Jen. Because Jen's just, like, running around the streets of Salt Lake City.
Seriously, every time someone puts, like, a plate of delicious food in front of Heather, Jen flips out. And then Heather has to abandon her food and go deal with Jen. That would get old for me.
Yeah, if I was about to eat truffle pasta at Voltaire Osteria, I would not. I'd be like, can you hold off for a second while I enjoy my lunch? I came here to eat.
I'd be like, mm-hmm.
I came here for a Met Gala luncheon.
Yeah.
I'm wearing a very nice outfit and I blew my hair out for this. And like, I'm here to eat and like have 4 to 8 glasses of wine. If that was Heather.
I'm here to stuff my face. Like, I'm looking to get as full as humanly possible.
And Jen's like, no, I'm sorry, Heather. You will not. Enjoy yourself. You have to come after me with the toy soldiers outside. With the life-size toy soldiers waiting in the freezing black ice outside.
The beef-eater soldiers. Still unclear on them.
Jen
but glad they're there.
So Heather is able to like convince her to come back in, and Mary's upset about it. And Mary again says, I didn't want to invite you. I don't want any of this around Walter. He's very upset right now. And then they cut to Walter with his, and he's like pouting, kind of.
He's like, And Jen's like, don't bring Walter into this. I know Walter. And I know Arturo, too. You're not the only one around here who knows them. They're very sweet. And I was like, God, I love everyone fighting over Walter. This is when Voltaire felt probably the most loved in his entire life.
Yeah.
He should be friend of cast. I would love for him to weigh in.
Well, there was that one like butler on Beverly Hills who kept showing up at all those parties. He was like that old dandy. They kept using him.
Yeah.
He was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Mary calls Jen a hoodlum.
She calls her a hoodlum. She goes, don't sit there and curse me.
And then
Jen takes offense to hoodlum. And then Jen brings up a really fucked up thing that Mary apparently said to her.
Jen claims that Mary one time came over and told her that when she sees a group of black people outside of a 7-Eleven or a convenience store, she finds another one. And it's like, and Jen's like, I have black sons. Like, I didn't know what you were saying to me there. And Mary's like, yeah, I said it. She's like, I stand by it. And then she says in her confessional, she goes, I equate convenience stores and hospitals with bad things. She goes, convenience stores, violence. Hospitals, I can't take the smell. And I just wrote, Mary.
Because I have a fear of them. Mary, she has an ongoing list of the things that strike fear deep into her heart. And on that list are hospitals and 7-Elevens.
I love 7-Elevens equal violence. Like, I'm literally at 7-Eleven every day of my life.
I have written poems about 7-Eleven. Like, I love it there.
Me too. I survived on 7-Eleven hot dogs for like a month and a half when I moved to LA.
It's a very safe space. It is. I've actually never encountered a weird moment in or outside of a 7-Eleven.
Well, I take that. So the 7-Eleven that I went to all the time when I lived in WeHo, someone got chopped by an axe there. So that was, well, that happens.
That's on, but
that's
them.
That can happen anywhere.
Yeah. Just happen to be outside.
Yeah, they happen to fall into someone's axe.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long-haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com.
So, yeah, Jen's kind of like, you're...
Can you hear Tony snoring in the background or no?
No, I can't.
Okay, good.
Jen's kind of like, I feel like you're giving off like weird like stereotypes and racist things, and like it's insulting to me because my family's black, and Jen and Mary's just like, it's complicated. Like it's hard to even...
Yeah,
it's a lot.
It's all jumbled up. What Mary said to Jen was very like racist and problematic, but then also we see that Mary can't have a conversation with anyone. Like once she gets fired up, it's like there's no talking rationally with her. She does not care about like making peace or having, or even like making sense. And I just I really think that she's just mentally ill due to all the incest. And that even if you don't classify it as incest, it's still kind of...
Well, clear, as we see later, it's clearly, I think, has traumatized her. Like,
I think it's, like, warped her brain.
But she cries about it. Like, I think she's upset about what happened to her. Like, I think she...
Mm-hmm.
It's clear that Mary was not okay with this life that her grandmother sort of... and her church, like, forced her into. And it's I have empathy for her because I think she's deeply troubled by, like, you know, I mean, it's a lot. Like it's
deeply troubled from marrying her grandfather and fucking him and having a baby with him. But also it's like, you've now benefited off of this life for years.
Yeah. You get to wear like,
and it's allowed you to have
Versace.
Like massive amounts of plastic surgery or wearing like Chanel and Versace, like,
mm-hmm.
So my empathy stops after a certain point and I'm like, you're kind of a crazy person.
Yeah.
Who's now like taking advantage of other people and probably hurting their lives in the same way that your life was hurt.
And saying like weird, violent, like racist shit to like a woman who has, like, it's so weird, but you know, it's a lot. So then we cut to the lunch closes, and then we cut to the next day, and it's like all these people are doing their little things. We see Mary with her housekeeper. What is Mary putting into that smoothie? That's what I want to know.
She first is putting like the Vital Proteins collagen powder in.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But then it looked like she was putting that like bentonite clay mask in the smoothie.
Yeah.
Didn't that look like that one clay mask that you can get on Amazon for like $10? I know you can eat bentonite clay.
I've eaten it.
Like, it's supposed to be good detox for you. But I didn't know that you could eat that specific clay mask. Like, I thought that was just like a face mask type of thing.
I think maybe it was.
But I guess clay is clay.
Yeah.
But I was like, Mary, this is classic. She's just like eating a face mask.
Yeah, it was weird. And then we cut to Meredith in the Mark's house, and Brooke is wearing these like Nana glasses.
Brooks is he's
evil.
I'm done with
him. He goes,
he's evil.
He goes, how is your luncheon or whatever on whatever day that was? I was like, you know what day that was.
Yeah.
Stop trying. Go back to school.
Yeah,
He goes to NYU Gallatin, apparently. Like, go back to New York. Like, just grow up a little. This is not your time. I'm sorry. I'm not, like, everyone was like, oh my god, yeah. Like, I was like, yes, Brooks. But now I'm like, you're just a mean gay, and you're, like, boring and, like, judgmental. I'm sorry.
I know. There's no space for a boring, mean gay.
Be fun. If you're gonna be on the show,
there's enough of
be
them.
Be fun. And if you're gonna cause drama, like, make it fun and interesting.
Yeah. Or be funny.
Pat Reagan tweeted something so funny. Wait, hold on. I have to read this. I'm so sick of Meredith's toxic gay son trying to gaslight us into thinking Jen sat on his face.
Same. I don't think that she was that.
No, I don't either. I don't think it was about you,
like,
Brooks.
She might have said grinder. She might have said, like, grinder, but, like, to him. She was making a joke. She wasn't
up.
Being like, She was not being like anti-gay.
Listen, gay men need to just, there's certain, like, there's moments where straight people are just going to say things that are like a little like, okay, you just have to like.
That are stupid. It's like maybe don't apply to you, and maybe you're not about, like a grinder gay, but
it's not about you. Let it roll off your shoulder. Not everyone is like fully as like actualized as you want them to be. But that's
also like Jen would be fun to have around.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm done with Brooks.
Me too.
You can tell. You can.
I release him. I wrote Brooks. I loathe.
Go back. Go away. Yeah. I also just wrote. Meredith starts trying to explain like how Jen and her are cool now, and then Brooks basically like gaslights her again into like being mad at Jen. Like he's very.
What does he say?
He's like, so you're telling me that you're okay with her being inappropriate and like yelling at you and like being totally inappropriate at a party? And Meredith is like, yeah, I guess that's kind of unacceptable. And I was like, ugh. You just control everyone, don't
get
you, Brooks?
Get over it. But also, if you're letting your, like, 20-year-old son dictate who you're friends with and who you're not friends with, you're part of the
problem. Oh, totally. She's afraid of him.
I really, like, I would love nothing more than a gay son someday, but not if it's a gay son like
Brooks. No way.
And honestly, if it is, they're going to need to just go back to college.
You're going
to
send them to boarding school in Switzerland.
I'm like, you've got to go. This will be good for you. You'll love it there.
Brooks should go to like Outward Bound or something.
Yeah. He should just go. Like, what is he passionate about?
Being famous and being on the show.
We're going to see his clothes yeah. next season or next episode. I'm not ready
I'm
for
not
that.
Either.
I don't want to see his like hoodies with a ribbon sewed onto them. I don't want to see him modeling in Salt Lake City Fashion Week or Park City Fashion Week.
I couldn't give a shit.
I don't think I have what it takes to sit through a random city's Fashion Week.
No, I don't. I could not give a shit.
Haven't cities learned yet that they are not allowed to do Fashion Week?
Yeah, unless you're New York or Paris.
New York, LA, Paris, Milan.
Not even LA.
London.
Maybe LA, but
no, I meant London, not yeah. LA. Forgive me. I've been to LA Fashion Week. It's truly I've never seen anything worse in my life.
Milan.
New LA Fashion Week feels like you've just woken up inside a trash bag. Milan.
But then we go to the kids that I do like. More of Heather's children, please.
Love her kids. I love that her ex-husband still pays for her exact same lifestyle, as he should.
I think she has three daughters, but we only see two of them in this moment. And her one daughter, who's the oldest, Ashley, has this like cute boyfriend who comes over in like a vroom, vroom car. I don't know what it's called. What are those cars called?
Yeah, his like, I don't know. It's like a Fast and Furious.
Yeah, he comes like.
It's kind of Tokyo Drift. Yeah, it's like. It's a street racing car.
One of those cars. A vroom, vroom car.
It's one of those cars that's like, vroom, and it's like that fast but little.
The cars I hear like speeding down Hollywood Boulevard at night.
Mm-hmm. It's a real like drive down the Sunset Strip slowly and loudly.
Yeah. So Ashley's dating this guy. He comes over. Heather says that Mormon girls can't go to more than one dance a month with the guy they're dating. I love she says dance.
They can't. Take the same guy on more than one date.
Yeah.
Because then they'll end up maybe kissing or having sex.
Mm-hmm.
But she's letting her daughter date and do whatever is right for her, which I love.
Yeah. I wrote.
I'm obsessed with that, her little redhead daughter.
She's funny.
She's funny. She's smart. She's worldly. She gets it.
Mm-hmm.
I want more of her. I want her to talk some sense into Brooks.
I was jealous of her daughter's boyfriend's hair.
He had very flowy hair. I was worried that he was going to be like a disrespectful boyfriend just based on his loud
oh,
car.
No.
But he was nice. He took his hat off inside the house. He was making eye contact and sitting with the family. I was like, okay, he could be a good guy.
He was like kind of a little shy. Like he was not like being like familiar or anything. Like I was into him.
Yeah.
And then Heather's like, do you guys want to go to church tomorrow? And they're like, no, not really. And she's like, all right.
She's like, cool.
I love that.
I love her. The redhead daughter was like, we haven't gone in a while. And like, if we go back, everyone's going to be like, where were you? Or be judgy. And they kind of talk about the pros and cons of their church, which I like that transparency. And I like that Heather's not forcing them to go to church.
Well, she says that like a lot of the families they grew up with have turned their backs on them. So like the girl,
because they're divorced. Yeah.
The girls are like, I don't want to be part of that.
Fair.
Meredith goes to pick Seth at the airport. It's like, this was like, I don't want to watch this. This was like hard to watch.
It was also felt weird to see this because it seems like this is the moment that they decided to get separated, but they've already announced their separation.
They so seem like, what, yeah.
What in the chronological hell is going on here?
They seemed, it seemed like truly done. Like they, like Seth comes in the car. He immediately is like, he's living in Akron, Ohio now, or Canton, Ohio. And that's where his company is now based. I'm like, what does Seth really do? Sounds kind of sketchy.
Yeah, he goes around looking for deals on used clothes.
Yeah, seems kind of Ozark-y. He's like, will you move to Ohio with me? And she's like, no, I'm not moving. Like, so Meredith is like, all of our marriage. By the way, she was so stunning. I mean, she is still beautiful, but like those pictures of her.
Yeah, but it was
like gorgeous.
I loved the throwback images of her.
Yeah, she was like, our whole marriage. Seth has basically dragged our family from one city to the next. Like, we've never really settled anywhere. The kids have always had to change school. Like, I've had to kind of curtail my life. And I think she's feels freedom now in Park City. And with her companies like going well, like I think she's finally like in a place where she's knows what she wants, I think. And she's she's kind of telling Seth, like, I think I've just like outgrown you. Basically. Because he's like, I think Seth is wants to stay in the marriage more than she does.
I think he does, but he's also not willing to like give anything up in order to do that.
He's being really selfish.
Yeah, it was just like
she's had to live for him.
It felt weird. I feel like there's also more going on underneath that we're not talking about. Like, are they dating other people? Like,
did he cheat? Like, did something happen? Did she cheat? Like, there's some there's some rift that they have not disclosed yet that seems deeper than just like the work thing. But it could very well just be like she's like, I've lived for you for 25 years. So, like, unless you can live for me for a moment, I can't do this. And he's like not willing to live for her. Like, he could probably make it work where they are, but
it'd be like a lot of traveling.
And then they like already start. It's like already, it's thank God they spare us like it's, more of their in this episode.
Yeah, it's torched from the moment that she picks him up in that Lincoln Navigator.
Then we cut over to Mary, to the Cosby house, and Mary, you just hear Mary go, I look like a guy. She's wearing this like,
I love Mary getting dressed, and I loved getting a glimpse into her dressing room that seemed to just be filled with racks and racks and racks of clothing.
Her, Mary's closet, in quotes, is like a master bedroom of this mansion that's just filled to the brim with clothes. Like, it's just,
yeah, clothes, shelves of shoes.
It's a walk-in room. It's not even a closet. It's like just a room.
It's not even a closet. It's just the clothes room where all the clothes go. And Mary is wearing like a silver jogging suit. And then she's like, I'm just going to put this hat on. And put a hat. And then she assumes her rightful place as the queen of headwear and puts a Gucci trucker hat on. And she's feeling free.
She is. I just said I just can't get over their house.
I can't believe it either.
It's like the Taj Mahal. It's like so just like ornate, and also I don't understand the vibe.
It's
unwell.
It's mysterious. I feel like it has so many rooms that we don't even know about and we'll never see.
No.
And like rooms that some, like, I feel like there's rooms that Mary's husband will never see, and there's rooms that Mary will never see.
I'm seeing sort of like a weird ballroom in, like, I feel like they have a ballroom somewhere, like, just strange, like a room that I would never want to lay eyes on. It's probably in
no
that.
They have like an Eyes Wide Shut yeah room for sure.
They have Masonic vibes.
Also, where, how much money do they really have? The congregation of this church looks small.
Well, it seems like maybe they've, okay, so I think from what I read in that Reddit thing, the mom, her mom took like half the church when she left, when they got married. But so I feel like the church has been like reduced in size a little, but like if you have a steady congregation, basically a cult for like 30, 40 years, and you're every year getting like a big chunk of their, all of their income, you're going to be a millionaire in a few years. So he's probably just,
if you're if they're tithing at like 10%.
Yeah. And like he probably has invested it, and like, you know, I bet they're just like, they just have money on money. That's just like, they're just augmenting every year. Cause that house Mary is, they clearly are like, have like tens of millions of dollars.
They're rolling in it. You don't have a room filled with clothes like that unless you have money. And I think she is just buying the clothes that she wants. It seems to me that she doesn't have a stylist who picks it out. She probably just like goes online and just fills the shopping cart and presses purchase.
There's one part
when she talks to her step grandfather, it's just two crazy people talking at each other.
At one point she goes, can you page Cherlinda, the housekeeper, and tell her to bring me my tray? And then her grandfather husband calls the housekeeper, and she goes, Charlinda, can you bring Mary her tray? And she comes in with a tray, like a snack tray. And Mary almost looks like a little kid, like she's like eating her snacks. It's very weird.
It's very weird.
I feel for
Charlinda's also not allowed to wear her shoes in the house, I think. Mm-mm. She's wearing like protective slippy booties over her shoes.
I know. I was like, Charlinda, get out of there.
You gotta get out of there.
It was a weird vibe.
It was really weird. And when you have to explain to your grandfather husband why you're having social problems, and then you have to tell him, like, Mary is like, you know, you're not my blood. You're not my real grandfather. I was like, if you have to say that to the man that you're married to, there's a problem.
Yeah, she's like, the minute she says something, he's like, oh, here we go again.
We're not going to talk about this again.
We're not going to talk about this again. I was like, well,
if you marry your grandfather, you're going to talk about it forever. It's going to follow you forever.
Yeah. Their like denial is so strange.
The rationalization of it. It's like, it's fucking weird. For both of you, just because someone wrote in a will that they want to fucking sex traffic you to their husband, aka your grandfather, doesn't mean that you ever have to do it.
Yeah.
But it seems that no one took that into consideration, really.
Like, it's truly, let's give him something to talk about. Like, it's a whole thing.
Jen tells Sharif about Mary's anti-black comments, and they have like a reassuring phone call with each other.
Yeah. I want to know.
Sharif is great. Like, I hope that their marriage is in good shape.
I think he really loves her, but so Jen has like an office in downtown Salt Lake. She had like a WeWork space that he like sets her up in.
Oh, was that in like an office building?
It looked like it.
I thought that she was just in her house.
No, I think she was like in an office.
But she doesn't do anything. I know. It's weird. Her life is very strange to me.
Yeah.
She's like, seems like she has a lot of people on the payroll for a very unclear job, which she throws parties, but we have not seen her actually like work on something. Like, she's thrown a party for fun that was really just like her excuse to throw a house party.
Yeah.
But like,
anyone that needs that much assistance and no one can really say what they do, there's something going on. But
yeah,
I swear, I think she's in like a WeWork. Or she has like a rented space that she goes to like twice a week. So he gives her like a pep talk. It's really cute. He, you know, she brings up the really offensive things Mary said, and he's troubled by them, but he kind of is like, you know, that's on her. Like, she's, that's her own thing. You can't take that on.
Yeah. She's clearly got like shit going on.
But Jen is not listening. Jen's not going to listen to that.
No, Jen is definitely taking it on, and she's ready for like round two of a verbal spar.
Then we cut to a jujitsu place, and Whitney and her half brother are meeting to fight each other, to like roll around on the floor.
And they play jujitsu, and there's one part where like Whitney kind of straddles him, and I was just like, whoa, this is feeling charged. Weird. And I guess it's not her blood brother again.
No, it is.
Just.
It's her.
No,
it's her half brother.
Half brother. Okay,
so yeah. They have the same mom.
They have the same mom. It's a lot. It's not a little... the same dad. It's just a little too much contact.
I just wrote, couldn't be me.
Mm-mm. I wouldn't do that with my brothers. I would let my brother, like one of his friends that also works at the jujitsu place,
yeah,
be like the instructor, and then my brother give me tips.
No, but I wouldn't. I'm not like, gonna like wrestle my sister on a mat.
No,
that's a little. I don't know. And he's like, wow, you're doing really well. And she goes, thank you, brother. I was just like,
nah.
I also just wrote, damn, Whitney's family is dysfunctional.
Yeah, everyone's mad at her dad, and so she's basically trying to get everyone to be supportive because her dad's going back into sober living, and we just find out that his addiction has really torn this family apart.
Yeah, the brother goes, we feel bad. Oh, and I just wrote, yikes. And she's, yeah, like,
it's not good. And Whitney's the only person that's had his back, but even she's like, I'm at the end of my rope, like,
yeah,
helping you out. Like, you're kind of on your own.
The dad apparently like went to LA or California at some point and then like almost relapsed, or he got like really bad withdrawals. He didn't plan his, you have to have a plan.
His sobriety.
Like,
yeah.
Especially if you're coming out of rehab, like you have to have a thing scheduled for yourself, even if that's like outpatient, but like you have to have a place to be accountable to. You can't just like pull a geographic and go to like another city and be like, well, we'll find out together. It's like, no, mm-hmm. You stay local, you stay near your rehab, you stay near the meetings you were going to with your rehab, and you if at all possible. And there are ways, rehabs, yeah, and sober, like they find ways to like accommodate you if you can't afford it. Mm-hmm. But like, he did not plan that well. So he,
no, getting out of rehab, any sort of rehab, and then jetting off to LA, you're basically setting yourself up for failure.
Yeah.
Any jetting of LA is basically setting you up for failure.
Yeah.
So then we cut to Henry's party. Lisa Barlow, son Henry, it's the only time I can really be there for my son Henry because mommy's got to work and mommy's running Sundance.
Yeah.
So she's thrown her son
a bowling party.
It looks fun. He seems to be having a lot of fun. And Lisa is making the weirdest comments about him, like from a distance. She like is looking at him, and like when he's like celebrating his birthday, she goes, oh my gosh, I love him so much. Like, she, the way she interacts about her son Henry is, leads me to believe that they like hang twice a year.
Yeah, it's like very team.
She goes, he's so funny.
She's like just figured him. She's like, wow, like this kid.
Oh my god, I love him so much. About your own son.
Yeah,
I should hope so.
Yeah, she's always on like swag bag event mode.
Yeah, she's like in awe of him, like just now seeing, yeah, him for like the first time. It's a very like interesting dynamic.
Was she drinking? I think she had a little wine.
Did she have a little wine? She's secret drinking, maybe.
She also, the son also looked, I just wrote, he seems a little troubled. Because at one point he like, maybe he was just excited, but at one point his, like, this girl that was at the party is, like, just trying to, like, set herself up to bowl the ball, and she's, like, getting, and he just goes, hang, hang.
Yeah, he was a little bit, like,
hyper.
Too active, yeah.
And he was, like, hitting.
But I think some little boys are just like that.
No, I know, but I was, like.
They're just physical. I know, but I don't like that behavior either. I'd be, like, you need to calm down. I know it's your birthday, yeah. But you can't, like, be acting like this.
He's, like, punching his friend in the arm. I'm, like, okay. Like,
I'm, like, chill the fuck out.
And then she's talking to her husband, who I really, like, I'm really fighting my attraction to him, because I know that he's, like, kind of bland, but, like, there's just something about him that I'm into.
In this moment, I kind of got it. I was like, Carrie's on to something.
She goes, my husband and I share a love of church and a core love of Jesus.
Jesus. Yeah, she, in LDS church, they believe that they believe in eternal marriage and eternal family. So when you're married for all of eternity, infinity marriage.
Yeah, better hope it's good.
And then when you're married, and when I guess any of your family is infinity family, it's not till death do you part, it's never part.
It's forever.
And she said that the church has really helped them work through this, and they have had their ups and have their downs. And one time she threw John's Rolex out a window. And I actually love that for her.
He said, she goes, and then we had to drive. He drove back and found it in a snowbank.
She goes, I didn't drive back.
He said something. He said something about, like, performing something for him, and I was just like,
yeah. Basically, he intimated that, like, she never fucks him, and she was like, she intimated that, like, he gives her grief about, like, getting her gifts or whatever. I'm like, all this would be solved if you just blow him every once in a while, yeah. And then he'll give you, like, jewelry. Like, what's the big fucking deal? I blew someone for Korean barbecue once.
Yeah, we've all blown.
We've all blown. In relationships, like, that's, like, the fun part of when you get into a relationship and you no longer want to fuck someone, the best thing to do is to just start doing transactional sex work with your partner. Mm-hmm. And in this situation, my partner at the time was like, I will take you out to dinner for Korean barbecue if you give me a blowjob. And I happily blew him, and it was great. But, like, that's what you got to do sometimes.
I was like, Lisa, I'll blow your husband.
You're like, I'll blow him for free.
I will. Then we see Whitney driving Diane Warren to sober living. And I just wrote, She drives him to, like, a very, like, Midsommar, like, temple-looking place that's,
like,
it's, like, a sober living house, and this very, very matter-of-fact woman greets him, and she's like, welcome back, we've got a lot of work to do, and I was just like, all right.
I'm very proud of him for making this decision, and, like, and coming to this decision, like, on his own terms. And I think that's great. And I support that, mm-hmm. if that's someone's journey. But, like, why do all sober living facilities have to be so sad looking?
I mean, that one, TBH, looked, as far as sober living houses, like, I was like, this looks a little, it looks prettier. Like,
it was less depressing than most, but still a very depressing vibe. And also was reminiscent of, like, the Vanderpump Rules, like, farmhouse mansions that they've been buying.
Yeah.
And that combination of that, I was just like,
it looked like a Montecito farm.
Nothing makes me want to drink more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Than that kind of surrounding.
Yeah. I think it's just, like, funding, and
I know
it's hard to keep. I mean, they're, like, a really, like, I think a lot of rehabs have probably gone out of business this year. Because it's privately owned, like, it's hard to upkeep. So, but,
and rehab is expensive. Like, it's not like those places are really, like, cheap, you know?
Yeah.
It just makes me sad, because I feel like a lot of them I feel bad, like, speaking to that, but it also is just, like, a truth.
Yeah. No, it's true. I mean, they're like, even an AA meeting, like, a lot of times, like, they're in, like, weird spaces. Like, it's just, you know, there's not a lot of drug and alcohol rehabilitation is not like a priority in our country.
Yeah. And it's not a place where people are willing to like splash out a lot of money to get sexy. Mm-hmm.
But I was like, damn, you better get sober, man. Cause your daughter is, she's probably paying for this again. Like she's, you can tell she's tired. At one point she's like, dad, is your luggage like in the back of the truck in the sleet? And he's like, no, it's okay. And I was just like, she's like, she gets there and she's like, get this guy fucking sober, please. Like, yeah. I have kids.
You gotta make it work, Diane.
Yeah.
Seth and Meredith then film a separation scene and it's very weirdly acted. Like, I'm like, it feels like they already had made the decision, but then had to act out the scene for the Bravo cameras.
Also, the music between those two scenes was, you hear someone going, yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, Seth is leaving. He's like,
but also, oh, sorry.
No, he's just like, it's time for me to go. And Meredith is like, she goes, yes, it's been a really volatile time for both of us the last few weeks. And I was just like, oh, I can't even imagine the shit that went down.
Just like fighting and bickering 24/7. And then she's like, yeah, we need some space. And then they have like a kind of a tearful, somber hug moment. And then the camera shot widens. And what? And do you see, lo and behold, lurking on the fucking wall is that bear painting.
Yeah.
She bought it after all.
She did.
And put it in her bedroom. It's, her sacred room.
It's really
that bear painting
traumatizing.
Is truly cursed.
Yeah.
Get it out of there.
So she's like, I really think that we need like a longer period of separation this time. And he's like, yeah. He's like, you know, it's hard for me to say, but like, I don't think we're going to last. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Y'all.
It's probably over, you guys.
Yeah.
But good luck.
Good luck to you.
Then Heather goes to meet Mary for dinner. And I need a book of Mary's theories, like her science.
Yeah.
I need it. They're ordering water and Heather orders sparkling water. And then the waiter is like, the waitress is like, would you like sparkling water? And she goes, oh no. Carbonation harms your ovaries.
She also says something about Milan. What did she say? She's like, that's me and Milano.
I want to spin off Mary Takes Milano.
I know. I want Mary.
I need to experience her in a foreign country.
Like Emily in Paris.
Mm-hmm. Mary and Milano. Run it up the chain of command, Bravo. Make it happen. I don't care whatever it takes. I need this. We need it.
And so she kind of starts talking about Jen again, and she says something like, she says Jen doesn't like me because I'm rich and black.
I don't think that that's why.
I was like, that's a big thing to say.
I could see Jen resenting her because she's rich, because it seems like Jen might be like posturing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that Jen probably doesn't like you because you're fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And you're married to your grandpa and it weirds her
out.
You
said she smelled like a hospital.
Yeah. After her favorite aunt had to get,
I'm not like,
unexpected,
I'm in no
diet.
Way, yeah, I'm in no way like defending Jen's, her actions are unhinged, but like she has a point.
Yeah, like you guys just need to like put this to bed. I like Heather is like, you guys both have said things that are fucked up to each other, just like end it there.
Yeah.
And then move on.
Yeah.
But neither of them can move on, and they're going to ride this out to the bitter end. And I'm glad for that, but I'm also like, this is going to like hurt both of you in the process.
It's crazy because, first of all, I was just like, I'm like, wow, that Mary and Heather are at lunch together or at dinner together. But also, my question was, do you think Jen is going to be mad that Heather went to lunch with Mary?
Maybe.
Or it, but that is part of my theory that she only cares about Meredith.
Yeah,
I feel like she's.
True.
I feel
we'll
like
see. That's the big test.
Yeah, because like if she's claiming to give such a shit about her friends being loyal, like is she going to react in the same way Heather, who's like arguably her actual best friend, is out to lunch with her sworn enemy? if she doesn't make a big deal about that, then like that's also like you. So you care. You have more like agenda with Meredith's friendship. That's my theory.
Yeah, I get that.
Then Mary tries
to explain.
Yeah,
yeah. She tells her like sob story to Heather, explaining her situation and trying to like drum up sympathy. Which again, it's like, yeah, I have like I. It must be really hard when your grandmother passes away and then writes in her will that you, her young granddaughter, are supposed to marry your step-grandfather. Like, that would feel like a betrayal.
Yeah, but then she starts
Mary
crying.
Says, like, she didn't want to marry him, and she's crying, and she says she didn't want to marry him, but she prayed about it for 2 years and then realized that the right thing to do was to get married to him. I'm just like, you gaslit yourself.
Yeah, she's
into thinking like God wanted this for you.
She clearly, I mean, she was 19 when the arrangement was like announced. So like, I mean, when you're 19, your brain is still not fully formed. Like you're still a teenager and you're like, I think your like frontal lobe is not fully developed yet until you're at least like 26, yeah. I think. So like you're still a kid basically. And I mean, you're an adult, but like you're still a fucking idiot. And
you shouldn't be making big life decisions like
to inherit
about
a cult.
Marrying your grandfather. Yeah.
And she's clearly was like pressured into it for 2 years by her family in the church, the family that didn't, you know, dissent. And yeah, it was probably
her like situation with her mom with telling her, no, I don't want you to do this. Like probably gave her more resolve to do it in a way.
Yeah, and just, I mean, she lost kind of her innocence and her mom in, like, one decision. So it's probably, like, yeah, really hard for her. And she starts crying. And I was just like, there's something wrong here. I'm sorry.
Like, someone needs to just say, like, okay, yeah, but that's, like, super weird and fucked
up. This is, like, weird. You're in a cult. Like, you're a cult lead. Like, yeah, you've been brainwashed by this very cult that you lead.
You're both a victim and a perpetrator. Yeah. What will happen next? Only the Lord knows.
Only the Lord knows. But it's getting good. It's a good season.
Yeah, it's a rich world. I'm excited to be on this journey. Carrie, thank you.
Carrie.
So much. Carrie.
You can follow Lara
for being
here. Lara at Lars Marie.
Follow Carrie at eCarrieO. Join the Patreon if you're jonesing for more bonus content. New bonus episodes drop every Saturday. And
stay safe, everyone.
Stay safe.
Positive. The light's at the end of the tunnel.
And thank you to Found.
Thank you, Found.
For partnering to bring you this episode of Sup. We love Found.
We do.
Found loves us. And you will love Found if you try it.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.